Rebecca Entwistle, and it's late afternoon here in the west coast of wonderful USA. Where are you? What time is it where you are? This is Radiance by Design. I'm an intuitive and energy counselor. I love it when you call in. When you call in, we take a look at the energy that you have going on inside, some of which is reactive energy, and we move some of that. We like to talk to you about where you're blocking your flow, what kind of gifts are being blocked, what's happening in your relationships. And today, especially, we want to talk about grief. And grief is that amazing reaction or response we have to changes in our life. Some of them are sudden, some of them are really thorough, meaning if someone dies, even if you're not surprised, you know they're going to die. But they're very, very closely aligned with you, perhaps a partner or a child, a husband, a wife, a lover, very, very close friends, and so on. Sometimes that grief is really, really amazing. Well, always it's life-changing. Always, always it is a very, very complex transformational tool. And when I say transformational, it's because grief is very biochemical, meaning if you're married, say you're married, we'll take the traditional husband-wife role, and your husband dies or your wife dies, your biochemistry has to change. If you get a divorce, the same thing happens. We go crazy for a while, people's biochemistry has to change. Because as we're together, we're brought together with those great chemical surges, aren't we? That great thing that comes up in lust and attraction and absolutely exciting desire to be with one another. And it's really amazing because that is where there is a kind of a synergistic biochemical reaction. So when someone leaves, someone departs through death or even divorce or just simply goes away or whatever, there has to be a change in your biochemistry. And that's a very kind of cool way of saying that grief is biochemical. But the other thing is, how much of your life, we live to love, to learn to love, to grow to love, and so on. How much of your life do you spend wanting to have those unions in which you learn more and more about love, in which you share, and so on? And when that love is ended abruptly or not, it's ended on the physical plane anyway, because sometimes when people move on and die, we're still connected with them. So you have this really deep connection, but the love on earth here is gone in a sense, and then we don't quite know what to do. In fact, I was just flipping through this book called Spirit Heals, Awakening a Woman's Inner Knowing for Self-Healing by Meredith Young Sowers. We did an interview with her, I think it was in the fall, about this book, and I just flipped through looking for grief, and she talked about loss interrupts the essential energy of love that flows from our heart to our female organs. She's talking mostly about women here, of course, that germinate the dreams that sustain us. So that's a really good example about how it interrupts the flow of love. So that interrupts this really vitalizing and expanding charge that comes through us. Don't you love it when you're with the people that you love? You feel like you can run. You feel like you're expanded, you get that nice glow inside. And then all of a sudden, all of that's gone. And many people, I've had my own version of this, and so we'll talk about that later too. But many people then kind of collapse inside and become really uneven and sort of lopsided inside. We can go through tremendous potentials for illnesses. You can get into pre-heart conditions, cancer, diabetes, and so on. Years ago, I was widowed, and I did a lot of research on grief because I was crazy. I went through all these really crazy feelings. So I just started. The only things I could read about were grief. And it was really good because I made quite a study of it. And at that time, and I think things have changed because the rate in which people get helped through grief has escalated, has gone way faster. But I read at some, I think this is about right, that at 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, the graph of people's physical fragilities becomes pointed so that at 3 months you're prone to be quite ill or pre-ill, meaning your nervous system is kind of shot, you don't feel well, you might be a little bit dizzy, and then at 6 months again, and then at, I think it was a year, and then 18 months. And there are these times when people literally get very ill. And you don't have to get very ill. The whole idea about learning about grief is that if you learn that you have these times where, if you think of, what is it, you know, when you have your biorhythms, if you learn when they're really weak, you don't challenge yourself, or you nurture yourself really well, or you go for massages, and you diet, and you do cleansings and saunas or whatever else you think you need to do, and talk to counselors and so on. You don't have to get really ill. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the weaknesses that come from grief are physical as much as mental, emotional, psychological, and so on. We were talking to the guides just before this show, and they were reminding us that the structures are a wonderful place. Like, for example, when you're working with grief, and we'll get into more of the details of what grief can feel like, when you're working with grief, using energy to move through some of the feelings. Because in essence, when you lose someone, even through divorce or just departing, but if you lose someone deeply, your whole inner, your whole soul is touched, is in a way weakened, it's wounded, and it needs healing. And the guides are reminding us that there's a great deal of healing that can go on with energy, using energy, applying energy to yourself, your inner self, and your own healing. And that requires just focus, being honest with what you are feeling and don't deny it, because one of the greatest difficulties is when in the craziness of grief, or that, yes, in the craziness of grief, which means that you feel out of control, you feel kind of lopsided, things don't make a great deal of sense. So when people have a priority of, like, having great furniture or something, and you're in the prime of grief, you might look at them and go, wow, it's really strange they even care about that. You see, because your whole inner priorities are beginning to be jumbled and shaken apart, and then you start to look for what's really true for you. And that makes you a little bit incompatible with a lot of the mundanities in our life. And at that point, it's really good to get some help with healing energy and so on. But anyway, the guides were talking about when we do our structures, and we often start the show with structures, it's a great place to take in someone who's grieving, or yourself if you're grieving, because energy is a great way to help you suture up some of the rips and tears that go on inside of yourself and even in your soul, in your spirit, in your personality when you're undergoing the big shifts required for grief. And we're going to do a structure, and we're going to do some grief exercises. For those of you who listen regularly, and I thank you for your presence, because some of you email me, and I really appreciate that, you may remember that I think it was last week when Stephanie called in, and she had lost her daughter couple of years back and said that she cannot stop grieving. And now Stephanie, I don't know if you're listening, but she's a wonderful spirit, and she's very, very sensitive, and she works with a lot of people as a healer, as an intuitive, and so on. And I remember Mother Mira, who's an amazing avatar on our planet, when her uncle, who was her lifelong support and beloved friend, when he passed, even though she is so highly evolved and can perceive so much beyond the third dimension, she went into a very, very deep grief response. Her life had to change radically. So, Stephanie, thank you for your call. We're going to, from last week, and what we're going to do is we're going to do a structure right now, and I want all of you to think about something that you've lost, someone that you've lost, some part of your identity you've lost, because that's what it's really all about. Is your love isn't going in the same direction, and your whole identity has to be recreated. So we're going to take in a consciousness of a loss, either yours or someone else's, into the structures and work with it in our wonderful research center. And remember, this is a show about love as well. This is a show about learning that there's love coming from your guides and angels, from spirit. And the love that comes through you also enhances the kind of subtle energy you can use and do that's available for you at all times. So we're going to do an exercise, which is a healing exercise, and we're going to focus on grief this time. Whether you've had large grief or small grief, you've all had grief. And then I'm going to take your calls because I'm really excited about doing that. I love it when you call in. So here we go. We're going to call. Oh, so I'm going to get you to take a few deep breaths to change, to detoxify, to relax. And I'm going to call in the presence of our higher selves and of our guides and angels, those beings of light and love and consciousness that work with us all the time, especially when we call for them. Excellent. And let's see above you, perhaps 2 miles, a golden ball. And below you, perhaps 40 feet below the base of your spine, another golden ball. And now draw a great filament of light, very, very bright light. And this one's showing up to be bright green, and I think that's because we're talking about grief, and green is such a healing. Good. And that filament of light connects right through your spine. Now around your waist, about 8 feet in radius around your body, a series of these golden balls. And now from the upper golden ball to this circle of golden balls, drop a myriad of pink lights. There's a lot of green in there today. They're not pink lights, I'm sorry. They're pink filaments of light, strings of light. Excellent. Now from the circle of golden balls to the lower golden ball, many, many filaments of pink light. So now you're in a structure that points a canopy pointing up and a canopy pointing down. Can you feel it? Can you feel the presence of these filaments as you're in your structure? And now I'd like you to create a crystal ball all around you, the outside edges of which touch the inside edges of your structure, and feel the soothing, creative, loving, feminine presence of this crystal ball. What colors do you perceive there? You can tell me after. And now inside of that, here's the double tetrahedron, a three-sided pyramid pointing up and a three-sided pyramid pointing down. And for those of you who are familiar with the star tetrahedron, use that. And that's the same thing, only you push the points of those double tetrahedrons so that they move in through, so that they become a star. How can I put that? You push the top point and the bottom point, and you move them in about a third of the way so that they intersect with each other about a third of the way up or a third of the way down, and there's like a wonderful star of David that's three-dimensional. Now spin and spin in your double tetrahedron or your star tetrahedron. Spin and spin and spin and feel what it's like to spin and spin. And whilst you do that, let's take a look on this screen here. Yeah, we have a magic screen in front of us as we spin and spin. And on that screen, let's bring someone who we know is dealing with grief. It can be ourselves. In fact, let's all of us put ourselves on the screen first. Yeah. And let's send some loving, healing light through ourselves to help with the healing of self. And the outcome is an inspired level of self. Healed, inspired, and a radiant product of a tremendous experience, or several of them. And now let's move along a little bit, and we'll bring in Stephanie since she was brave enough to call us last week, and see Stephanie on our screen, or anyone that you have in mind as well, and see her absolutely being healed. Let's send light through her body. Wrap her in light first, and then just fill that light wrapping with beautiful blue, green, and purple and fuchsia light from the feet on up. And let's ask for a connection to source energy and have the yellow, purple, and green light move in through the top of her head. And let's see and feel the presence of her higher angels and guides working within her being to help release the load, to help her transform enough to feel the lightness of spirit again, and to be the product of those experiences. Now take a look around in your life. Who else would you like to bring in there? Healing is a very interesting thing, isn't it? So let's bring in Janice. Let's bring Janice in. Keep spinning in your double tetrahedron or your star tetrahedron and see on the screen Janice, who's had two major losses over the last little while. One of them is very fresh. And we see Janice being filled with, first of all, being protected by her guides and angels, wrapped in light. And then inside of that light, we see her angels and we see source energy releasing higher fields of green, green, and gold, and through her head, and these cushions of fuchsia and purple and gold moving up through her feet. Good. And that they meet inside of her, and let's have her angels be with her to help her heal. To help her heal in such a way as to create amazing wisdom, understanding, and to give to the world the art that she is so already proficient at. Excellent. Now let's just take a minute and see if there's anything else you'd like to put on the screens. It doesn't all have to be about grief. But grief is, as we tried to say, it is actually a new beginning. It just sometimes takes a while to reformat, doesn't it? It takes a while to heal and to answer all those questions and decisions inside about who you are and what love is. And can it move on and on? So let's put on our screen other things that you're wanting to create at this time in your life. Is it new associations with people? Is it a book you want to write? Is it financial resource you want to flow with? Is it healing? You know, I want some fun and laughter too, so let's put that up there. Some fun. And again, spin in your double tetrahedron. And then step back out. How did that feel? So we want to talk about grief, but I want to realize that on this planet, I mean, it's really an interesting planet, isn't it? We're hearing an awful lot about how our forebears, our ancestors, are Pleiadians. So we come from a whole galactic soul history. Oh my, it's very exciting. And then we live in this third dimension. It's really hard sometimes to feel that we are so amazingly expanded and that we have a capacity to belong to the universe and to these great, great civilizations we know out there. Because we're kind of stuck here in the third dimension, it feels, at times. And then in our grief, I notice that there's such an obvious feeling that it's like you're here with someone and then they're gone. But But this is not talking about Pleiadians so much as it's saying that when they're gone, they are also still in existence. They're still moving through. They're still growing and changing and learning. And many of us who have lost people have seen them on the other side. Oh, my gosh. When I first started doing this work, I went, don't start bringing me spirits because I think that I'm just going to, I think it's nonsense and I'm just going to avoid it, right? But I'll tell you something. I've learned a lot from the beings that come from the other side, that it's a veil, and more of us are going to be able to see through the veil because we're trying to understand now that life is, what would we call it? It's an infinite journey, and we're having these creative experiences here. What did I listen to this tape at times, and it says, one of the first lines, I just love it. It's like, your higher self is your only true self. There's a whole lot about grief that is tied to our, if you will, our smaller self or our third dimensional self. And that doesn't make it any less painful. It's kind of a cut and bleeding or a very bruised self and bruised reality when we're going through grief. And grief can take a long time. When I went through mine, I think it was a good 10 years. And I know other people that took a long, long time too. I met a woman who, when I was going through mine, said something that Meredith Young Sowers says. Said to act it out, to express it, to cry, laugh, do all of these strange things because you want to stay not only alive, but you want to keep moving the feelings through and moving the feelings through and moving the feelings through because feelings are a dynamic creator of where it is we're going. So when you stuff the feelings or you kind of freeze off so that you're appropriate or whatever, you can live a life that is not necessarily... It's like you're not really alive. I'm sure we've all met people like that. I met a number of them like that when I was going through my grief. There's another thing about grief is you can feel quite, is the word fragile? It's very difficult to keep a balance, isn't it? And I think what I'm going to do is give the numbers and have several of you call in and talk about the grief that you have been through or feel and see if we can't take a look at what's going on in your world as a result of the grief in your world. It's a loss, but ultimately what we're trying to learn is that it's also a gain. And the gain is in who you become. That, you know, when you lose what you think is your foundation, who do you become? It's a route to transformation. I suppose Scorpios are the guys that are supposed to know lots about that. So if you'd like to call in with your questions, call 877-876-5227, 877-876-5227 in the States. And from Canada, 888-810-8322, 888-810-8322. And the direct line is 530-876-3222, 530-876-3222. And the reason I wanted to talk about grief is because, partly because of Stephanie's call, but partly because we all have losses a lot, and things are changing on the planet. There's a lot of people who have lost houses recently, have lost socioeconomic status. The thing that dies the hardest is your dream. So if you've got, for example, if you've saved your money and you finally bought a house and that's going to be your retirement and the market's just hot diggity and you're going to have like all of this money when you sell this house, suddenly the market drops. The house is worthless, or one of the earth changes kind of swoops it away. What do you do? Thank you for your call. Just finish this thought. That grief, that reaction can leave your brain absolutely addlepated. You can be mad, you can be freaked out, you can be dysfunctional, and how do we handle this? And this is what I want to keep talking about today. Good afternoon or good evening, you're on the air.
Hello, Veronica.
Hi, how are you, Brian?
Pretty good. You remember me.
You bet.
I figured you'd never forget my voice.
Nah, I couldn't do that. How are you?
Doing? Good, good. Just listening to doing that, just did that structure with you. So good.
Good. Are you working with grief today?
probably the grief for the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Probably everything, the changes that are coming on this planet. Yeah, I guess sometimes I get pulled into the collective, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And we all get some days.
Yeah, the good old collective. Yeah, it's really transformative out there right now.
Oh, I can surely feel it more and more, definitely. And I don't know, I guess the grief that I feel is probably for the people of this planet and what they go through and what I go through. You know, we're all in this together.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of my pain, is I feel from them kind of because I'm an empath.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all are to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm. Some of us, I think, more than others.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a thing people teach you how to handle either, is it?
No, that'd be nice if they had a teaching guide 101. You know?
Yeah, well, you could teach your son. So what do you do about it when you're empathizing with a lot of the stuff that's going on the planet?
I cry sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I'll let the pain, because if I hold it in too much, it just eats me up inside. So I think it's good for everyone to cry, just to get it out, just to allow those tears to flow.
I think you're absolutely right. The other thing is, let me see now. Do you ever find that when you get, I'm going to ask two questions here. One is, what do you think is going on in terms of stability on the planet? Don't you think people are finding that their lives are getting pulled apart much more than they were for a while? Maybe in this country, anyway, I'm talking.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I feel that a lot of all kinds of energies, you know, we're coming into a lot of cycles, or we're going through cycles, a lot of earth changes, and even the vibration of the planet's changing. And I do feel a lot of pulls, and it's a lot of push and pull.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, they are starting to, it's either those who can handle it and those who can't, and they're waking up, and this is a whole new experience for them in this lifetime. So yes, I do.
I think it's pretty interesting, because in the old days we used to think that you'd go to university, you get your degree, you got yourself some stability.
Yeah.
That no longer exists. That's a dream that's kind of died for a lot of people.
It's like living up to people's expectations can be a challenge.
Yeah, that's true. And then when their expectations aren't met.
Right.
It's not just expectations. I think that there's so many changes going on that people are kind of chronically depressed, and that could have a lot to do with why everybody's on Paxil or Wellbutrin or whatever.
It's like they realize that why did they have to try to live up to other people's expectations when they could choose to choose freely? When they realize the power that they have within themselves.
Well, then there's this interesting thing is that if the society structure is changing radically and what they thought they were going to head for isn't going to occur, then they have to Then we go through a grief reaction, trying to draw back inside and recover the kind of personal power that helps us individuate. Does that make sense? But there's a grief inherent in that process, isn't there?
But that's always the human side. It's always been like that. And if people just realize that's okay,
everything will be okay. I think it's kind of majorly disrupted right now. I think
it is. Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
It can be.
But I'm just trying to make the point that there is grief there, you know.
Yeah, but like I said, I feel that it's okay to grieve. But I guess it's like when you get stuck in it, it's like, how do you get out of it?
I want people to realize what you said is that it is okay to grieve. Not only that, it's essential. But
yes,
also
it is.
A very complex reactive force that's taking hold of many people simultaneously right now. And we don't always identify with it. We don't always recognize it. We think people are kind of crazy or everybody's depressed and so on. I think it's all part of that complex a lot of the time.
When people realize, I guess it's going back into eventually the self-appreciation of who you are. When you appreciate yourself, you can truly appreciate another, and you can trust in the choices that they make. And even if the pain is there, you can be there for them.
I think you're just right. Thank you for your call, Brian.
Thank you, dear. Okay. And God bless you and Bob.
And you too.
Bye-bye. Okay.
So I think we're doing several things here today. I suddenly realized talking about that that's probably why half the planet's on antidepressants right now, because things just aren't what they used to be, and you can't look forward to what our folks taught us we could look forward to. So intrinsic in that is a requirement to shift and then rediscover the dream for yourself. And as Brian says, it's all about finding the power of the individual, but sometimes we need to jump start that. We need to be that's another reminder that grief is a transformative complexity. It's a transformative reaction, has to do with loss. But its greatest gift is how we can make huge gains as a result of having had that feeling that my dream is not going to manifest, my love has had to change directions, I'm not what I thought I was going to be. Dreams, I remember years ago being told, dreams die harder than people, and I realized through the years that that is so true. You have to give up what you thought you were going to create. Many people completely fall apart. Anyway, call in with your questions. Who's grieving in your world and why? What's going on? And what is it about your soul journey that is pushing through? Well, this is kind of a complex question because it's not the same for everyone. I'll jump around from that. My guides were saying also that grief affects different people in different ways. So that if you are a person with a great deal of 12th house energy, for example, maybe you've got a bunch of Scorpio planets in the 12th house, you may grieve a lot differently than someone who has, I can't even think offhand of what would be a more practical placement, but something that is more grounded. Say, I'll just be with you in 1 minute. I have to finish this thought because I don't even know how to right now. I got to figure it out, or I have to go into grief. I think it would be something more practical, like Taurus in the second house. But you astrologers, you can tell me I'm wrong. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Hi, Veronica. This is Ted.
Hi, Ted. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Haven't called you in a while, but I've been listening.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. You got any feedback for us?
Any feedback? Well, I had a question.
Good.
I've got a new possibility of a job, something that looks like it could very well lead into a job, and I wanted to get your take on it. It's at a continuation school.
Well, it looks, now I'm going to go back to grief just for a sec because
okay, sure.
You look like you've had a great deal of disappointment and consternation regarding jobs. Is that right?
Yes.
Yes. So I would say that you're a good example of how these changing times can really sock it to us as far as a little bit of grief goes. But anyway, back to you. I'm going, this looks really good, and also it's, somehow it's a job that's tied in with another job, so I see it kind of like connected to a whole other level of work that's going to set you in better stead after a while.
Oh, that would be neat.
Yeah. Is it like a temporary job till the end of the year?
It is. It's a temporary job just for 2 weeks right now. I'm just a sub, but it looks like there's a good chance. I think the lady before had some serious heart trouble or something, and she probably... You know, the position will open up officially. So right now I'm just a substitute.
Well, you know what I think? I think as a result of substituting there, you're going to get another job. It's quite a long-term one.
Okay, yeah.
And you seem to like it. You don't necessarily want to work a long-term job, do you?
Yeah, not necessarily, because, you know, I'm hoping that maybe investments would carry me too. But that, you know.
They're coming along, though, aren't they?
They were really, really up, and then now they're not really down, but they're definitely down. It's sort of.
Well, the guides immediately are saying you have to be very fleet of foot, meaning you have to be able to shift these investments really quickly because it's a little bit like surfing over the next little while.
Okay, that makes sense.
And also something kind of crazy in, you have to keep your feet really sensitive and know when to jump ship on certain things.
Okay, okay.
Can you do that?
Speaking of grief, boy, I just had a great, this breathing seems to be a real trigger for me, this circular breath stuff that's like rebirthing. And I felt this cry, I was crying, but it was kind of happy crying in a way, because I was, this whole business of being enough, you know, and that it felt good that I was doing better in that, quite a bit better. So I was crying, I don't know, just sort of as a relief. I don't know if it was grief or what it was, but it was just this intense experience. And
well, I have to tell you this, Ted, is you look much more integrated and much stronger than you've looked before.
Really? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it would be good for me, I guess, to follow up with this breathing, do some more. I don't necessarily need some professional, I don't think. I can just have some lay person just sit with me, because I sort of trust myself with it. You know, I've had such highs.
You've had such highs?
Yeah, high. You know, I just feel really high.
Is this, okay, so could you say, yeah, I don't know if you heard
natural
Brian,
high.
But could you say that you've really gotten in touch with your own individuality enough to be able to create the world that you want?
Yeah, I think that when I'm in that state, I can really do that. I don't know that I could do it so well, you know, just relaxing and focusing on something, on what I want. It sure seems like if I get into that state, I could, you know, there's a lot of power there or something, and I can, it's an altered state.
And this is talking about the circular breath?
Right.
I want you to tell, would you mind telling people at home about that? Because I was going to say that with grief, a lot of healing can go on with intense breathing, with
yes.
energy.
Yes, yes, it's a great way to release. And it's God, the quantum breath is an example. I'm sure that would be on the internet. And also clarity breath work is another one that I think is really good. They seem just very professional. It does basically the same thing. And it's just with a professional there, you know, they can just really help you to get through stuff. And I haven't used it for that so much, it doesn't seem like, although, well, there was certainly a lot of relief, but I wasn't, the thoughts weren't there that went with crying.
Yeah, but I don't think it matters, because what happens when we use breath, because I use breath for all kinds of things as well, and it's just that we get these densities that are lodged in various parts of the body, and breathing is a great way to finally get things to start blowing out, you know. I don't think you have to have the thought that goes with the reaction.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where the relief comes, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So I was crying, but I didn't really feel sad, and I didn't have the thoughts with it, but it was big old crocodile tears.
Did you enjoy crying?
I'm sorry?
Did you enjoy the crying?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I never do that. I never cry. Never out of sadness. It just doesn't happen.
Oh, isn't that great? Well, this is wonderful, because it's a really cleansing thing to do.
Yes, absolutely.
So for people who are in grief, we will recommend also some very intense breathing exercises. And don't be thinking you're crazy. Just realize that you're rearranging who you are inside. That includes
yeah.
all aspects. And
yeah.
doesn't
I think
happen.
It's just. I think it's just the opposite. It gets to who I am when I do that. And then mm-hmm. I'm much more of a larger sort of expansive being than what I think I am. And you can actually feel that expansiveness.
Isn't that great?
It's awesome.
And so you say quantum breath.
Yeah.
You
quantum
also
breath and clarity breath work are two that come to mind. I think that looks like they're.
And you can Google those.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for your call. That's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. I'm always love hearing you.
Thanks very much, Ted,
okay.
and you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. That's another component that's really good. Now, we have a sound healer coming on after this as well. And I'll talk a bit about my own grief process, because it was it's what turned me into a psychic. Ta-da! It was not my goal. I was 32 years old when my husband died. And it was a very complex time. It was a 16-month process and had a whole bunch of relationship complexities in it, all kinds of social things that went crazy and so on. But in any case, I don't need to go into that story, because that would be the edge of night. But what happened is there were a number of episodes I had that led me to opening. And one of them was I used to sit by a fire. I'd go camping. by myself, and I would sit by a fire, and I would make sounds. Now we know all these sound healers, right? And I would make these sounds that would just run through my body, like, ah, you know, and it was like, just hold it, I'll just finish this thought, and you will be on the air, thank you. So I'd make these sounds, and then what I found by doing that is that, say people were, sometimes there were other people around, but mostly I was by myself, but then I would be talking to somebody by phone, or I'd connect with somebody, and inside of them, I saw their entire cellular selves with these spiraling colored lights coming up. And this was a direct product of my making sounds. But also at times when I made those sounds, sometimes I made these god-awful almost, they sounded a kind of agony. And part of me is very funny. So I'd watch these sounds come up through me as if it were someone else. I go, whoa, that's really dramatic. And yet it really pulled information up out of me. I got a great deal of release from doing that. And more about breathing as well, but I thought I'd throw in the sound patterns until finally, just like bursting in a flame, I began to see people opening and I could see inside of them a whole bunch of things. And that began some of my, well, my psychic work, which has been pretty intense for the last 25 years. Now you're on the air. I'm eager to hear your story.
Hey, Veronica, it's Anna.
Hi, Anna. How are you, darling?
Well, I was just really, I looked up Amika, on the, who's going to be on the next one last night for the sound, and it sounds wonderful. I listened to some of her sounds, and I was just listening to you thinking, whoa, because I do sounds when I work, too, but I haven't seen all those lights, but that's a great inspiration.
Isn't that fun? And but also, you do something very similar to what I was doing. Anna's a wonderful healer, and you just let the sounds come through, don't you?
Yeah, it just appears.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It just appears?
Well, I mean, they just happen. I don't think, okay, well, now I'm going to do an E or a C or an A or anything like that. It's just like whatever sound wants to happen, but I play the ocean bowls, the Tibetan bowls with the ocean, so sometimes a sound they make, I just have to join in. So that's fun. But when I was doing the meditation, I was about grief, because I really made a point to be here for this meditation and everything, because that's something that comes up, like I've been doing the thing with Eckhart and Oprah,
mm-hmm.
And when I get in touch with that essence or that stillness, I almost always cry. Just no matter how happy I'm feeling, it's tears. And when I try to think of who I might be losing or something, my mind says, oh, my grandmother or this person or that. But well, the image that came up was this kitten. And so I thought, all these years could I be crying for a kitten?
But
my whole life, you know, it's like, I'm basically happy, but if I get in touch with a certain depth, it's tears.
But you know,
and
something
sometimes really huge tears and big sobs and everything else. It's just so I don't know. It's always been a mystery, and it's really annoying. For instance, with sexuality, because most guys are not thrilled as soon as you get turned on to have you burst into tears. But that's what happens. I let go of the. I get in touch with that oneness kind of thing, and there it is.
I think it's deep within your soul journey, frankly.
It's deeper than what?
It's deep within your soul.
Oh, yeah, I think so, too. It just seems to be a part of me.
Yeah, it's your soul is like a stream. To me, it looks like kind of a blue, bubbling stream, and there's this sadness that comes along with it. It isn't. It's just... like Brian said, he feels sad for people on the planet. And I go, you just feel sad for the human, your own relationship to the human condition or the human experiences or something.
Or just longing. When you say that, it's almost more like just longing for, oh, the river image is good, because that sense of the flow and the freedom and just the sense of if you get close to it, there's such a longing just to be one with it and not to have to deal with everything else.
I believe that's your drive, your spiritual drive, isn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe you should cry in tune, and then it'll become a beautiful thing.
Yeah, sometimes it is. Sometimes it really is directly the result of happiness.
Well, that's okay, too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Emotions are so much a gift in terms of how to understand existence, aren't they?
Yeah.
And you're an old soul.
So there's lots of tears back there.
I think you're Arcturian. Would you say you're from Arcturus?
Yeah, either that or Lyra. Arcturus and Lyra, I think, are the two. What do you get about Arcturus?
I remember we
thinking of that one time, but I haven't thought of it for a while.
Oh, I just saw it today. I'm going, excuse me, there's something about your energy and Arcturus that it was easier there for you.
There wasn't all this bickering. That's what I'm finding is, you know, all these fighting and stuff and who's in charge and everything. Like, the Pleiades and all that is fine, and Sirius and all that is fine, but it seems like they fight with each other too much. Don't you think?
It seems like there's a lot about aristocratic life. I haven't read enough about Arcturus, but I feel like it's kind of an energy place.
Mm-hmm.
And where's Lyra? Is that in the Pleiades?
No, I think it's not too far from Arcturus. You know, space-wise.
Yeah, because I feel like you know that life could be a lot different, and you've been here for a while, and you find that a little sad.
I think so.
But you have fun. You look like you've got a nice bright light in there.
Yeah. But anyway, thank you so much for that meditation. I really felt very peaceful during that. That was the best I've been
thank
able
you.
To
And thank you for
it.
Your call, Anna.
Thanks, Veronica.
All right.
Bye.
Now, there's some more stuff. Oh, golly, it's just gone right out of my head. You know, this is a little bit of a jump and change in pattern. Sometimes grief is super complicated by the fact that people are at odds. For example, a mother and daughter who haven't healed, that there's been real conflict. When one of them dies, the other one has an awful time with it, husband and wife. If one of them dies and they're at odds with each other, it's a very, very complicated injury. Did you realize that? It's like, boy, it's a good idea for us to get our apologies done and our looking into each other's eyes and really seeing the divine in one another and healing and clearing those dissonances between people. Because when somebody dies, and of course, don't we believe that this is a lot of the juice for karma? If someone dies and there's an intense dissonance, that's when you have to find some way of repairing it through maybe another life, or maybe we can do it on the other side. Of course, I love Michael Newton's books, and maybe in his Journey of Souls, he gives us enough evidence to make us think that you can sort it out between lives. But it's really a good idea to sort out difficulties before people do die, A, and B, what do they say, never go to bed angry, and B, it's really a terrific link between the dissonances that are left in our vibrational fields and what we call our karma, which is that calling card that draws us back together to solve some difficult problem. Many soulmates and so on come back together, and we think, oh, hot diggity, this is a perfect relationship. But there's all these things that have not been resolved that come up in the middle of their soulmate potential, which could be the potential for a fully realized relationship. So it's interesting. Grief is a complex number of feelings, some of which are anger, some of which are denial, some of which are hatred, loss, fear of losing oneself, the illusion that it's all, I'm going to take this call because my words are slipping away right now. Welcome, you're on the air.
Oh, hello, this is Dominic from London.
Hi, Dominic from London. Do you have any grief?
Yes, it's a very strange one. It's been going on for probably the last 20 years. I'm not really sure what it's about. it's kind of a very painful, biting grief down deep in my psyche, and I'm still trying to work out what it could be, but I wonder, it might be something from a bleeding over from another incarnation. But
I would say this, it's very old. Actually, it's right in the programming in your brain, the mapping in your brain on the left side. Do you feel that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear.
And we're going to do some energy on it. I'm going to ask people at home to pay attention. First of all, wrap yourselves in light, because we're going to do some energy with Dominic. Second of all, pay attention to something that has been grieving you most of your life and ask yourself where it is in your body. That's going to be the prelude to this little bit of exercise that we're going to do right now, which can sure help with grief. Although I have to say, people who are in acute stages of fresh grief, I don't know if this is way too simplistic for what you need right now, and I do understand that. So we send you love as well. All right, so wrap yourself in light, Dominic.
Okay.
And I'll wrap myself in light, and we're calling in our higher selves and our guides and angels and asking those beings of love and consciousness to work with us as we send, just a moment, I want to see what color. If we send it's like a green and gold and platinum and a little purple light, fire right into your frontal lobe, and I'm asking to see and know the source of your grief, because remember, the brain is very programmed. Now, of course, you don't have the same brain you had last lifetime, but you have some of the cellular makeup from that lifetime. Yeah. And certainly some cellular stuff, right? And there's something right in the brain stem, Dominic. Do you feel that?
Something almost feels shifting. I was getting an impression of maybe a chariot was being pulled by horses, or a carriage being pulled by horses.
Ah.
It's like they're running across somewhere.
And were you heartbroken?
I was amazed. I was amazed by seeing these things, and it feels like there is some really a battle going on, a storm, something really violent, like a violent storm of a situation. And it just feels like steel, sort of the grief. But it feels like there was kind of an illuminating time, and it was just being brought to a halt, and everything was dark after that.
Mm-hmm. But you were running for, it looks like major success, and then you got defeated, right?
Oh, yes, I think I can identify with that.
And, you know, I feel like you died with your left, the left part of your brain was beaten, I suppose. So we're just moving it and seeing if we can now fill it with the violet fire and moving it. There you go. Now, we didn't get it all. It's pretty hard to do it on a show, right?
Uh-huh.
But we got some of it. Did you feel a little bit of a shift there?
Yeah. Yes, I've got lovely peasant pinky and pale greens floating around there at the moment.
Oh, good. Let's see if you can keep, I'll say goodbye to you now, but see if you can keep that light running through your body for a while. We're sending a violet fire up, but I still see a lot of gold light wanting to move through.
Uh-huh.
See if you can keep it going, because you might be able to unstick that old response.
Yeah.
Look it right in the eye and move it on through.
But thank you very much for helping to illuminate that situation. That was a fabulous experience.
Thank you for your call, Dominic.
Okay, goodbye.
Goodbye, be well. This is Veronica Entwistle, and I'm really happy to say to you that we're going to be talking to Amrita at 5 o'clock, 5 o'clock West Coast time, 8 o'clock East Coast time, 1 o'clock over in the UK, And Amrita is an amazing sound healer. I talked about sitting there and staring at the fire and making sounds and then watching people's inner light up, so I began to see inside of people. Well, Amrita had breast cancer and on one side, and then when it recurred on the other, she said, I'm not doing the medical anymore. And she began to do sounds in order to heal herself. She went to university, she studied, and so on, and in dee-dee-doo, she did heal herself. Her music is what I've chosen to use, finally, at this late date, for my intro and extro music, so you'll hear some of her sounds as we go from Radiance by Design over to today's paradigm shifter, who is Amrita Cottrell. This is Veronica Entwistle saying, tune in on Thursday night, where I'll be on with Jackie. We've been talking about releasing the collective feminine rage. Boy, that makes me mad. So I hope that you'll listen and join us on Thursday at 8 p.m. Radiance by Design again at 4 o'clock next Tuesday. Thanks so much for your calls and thank you for listening. We'll see you at the top of the hour with Amrita Cottrell. Much love and many blessings.